And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. And I'm talking about we send the signal for this show way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got a caller on the line called in during the break, so let me grab that while I can. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well, and it sounds like y'all are too, except for the text line.
Well, texts are back up, so we're back in action, man.
Vunderburg, then I'll make this mighty quick. I can't believe you were pondering why you are a syndicated radio host now and loving it after you mentioned, brother, where art thou? Because it's obvious that you're not a man of constant sorrow.
Wasn't that an epic movie? Oh, he hung up. That Charlene doesn't like that movie at all. There are so many one-liners.
Oh, I love that movie.
That movie's awesome.
It's such a good movie.
I mean, you could just sit here. We could just trade quotes from that movie for a half hour.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tease my wife. I need some Dapper Dan. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
I don't want fop. I'm a Dapper Dan man. Well, ain't this place a geographic oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere. Come on in, fellas. The water's fine. That's one of my. I've got that meme saved on my phone of him actually going, "Come on in, fellas. The water's fine, but all your sins can be forgiven. Even that bank I held up over in Yazoo. You said you didn't hold up that bank. Well, I lied about that too, and I've been forgiven." Gopher Everett. We thought you was a toad. Do not seek the treasure. I'm telling you, man, I could go on for half an hour with this. I don't get it, Big Dan. Stop me. Throw something at me. Shut off my microphone.
Stop it.
My gosh. I'm going to the text lines. I'm not even going to talk about strategic ambiguity yet. I'm going to the text lines because they got shut down on me a while ago, and I got some good texters in here. Dan from Rogersville, he says, cats can't drive, use a phone, and most importantly, they can't vote. Now, that means that if you're listening out there, Jeff from Indiana, you are not a cat because you can't drive. I'm with you, Dan. Brian from Huntsville texted in with Brian S. from Huntsville. He texted in and says, the body mass index thing. He says, BMI is a bad measure, not because of racism, because it just takes your height and divides that by your weight, which means if you're extremely muscular, it claims you're obese, which, by the way, I had that happen to me a lot in the military. Sir, we're going to have to tape you. Why? Well, sir, you're over your weight limit. I just did 75 push-ups. Yes, sir, but we still have to tape you. Okay, fine. It happened all the time. At one point, he says, I heard The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was considered obese because of BMI. I get it. Tell us it doesn't work, but don't tell us it's because of racism. Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center, Alabama, wants to know if he can identify as tax-exempt. I'm pretty sure you're on to something, Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center, Alabama. Could we all just go ahead? Can we en masse claim to be, we identify as self-exempt, tax exempt? I don't know if it works.
I mean, everybody else is identifying as anything else. Might as well.
What's the thing I said last time we talked about this? My truck identifies as a Prius. Can it park in the economy parking? You can put a Prius in the back of my truck. Tim from Cherokee, Alabama. Truck driver Tim here. Please tell Jeff from Indiana my calico cat is offended by his comments. Bill from Huntsville. What's he got here? I'm not going there. I'm not going to somebody's Facebook to see a kid who identifies as a furry. I'm just not doing it, Bill. I'm just not doing it, man. Amy from Rainbow City. We paid $250,000 for our daughter to attend UAB Medical School to be taught sex and gender are not the same thing. Wow. Oh, wow. Amy sent this to me in an email, I believe, the other day, too. Gender is how you feel, so it's fluid and changes. They teach there are as many as 76 genders. I referred her to Genesis 1:27. God created the male and female. You are so right, my friend, Amy. I tell you what, Amy, if you've got anything like in writing that shows the official position of UAB Medical Center saying that there are 76 genders, I would love to have a copy of that. I mean, not because I'm doubting you, because I want it, and I will get it in the right hands, and we'll see if we can have something written about it. I'll write about it. I'll talk about it. I'll call them and ask them to come on the show and defend it. There's an idea. Anita from South Huntsville. My Labrador Bruiser is attracted to beef brisket. This is a non-man attracted to a non-man. My dog Bruiser's a lesbian. Anita, what are you talking about? Jeremy from Huntsville. Let them think they're all animals, all they want. Animals can't vote. They'll still claim the right to vote. Brian from Decatur. I'm not about to argue with the schizophrenic that the voices or person they see are not real. Therefore, why we argue with someone who's confused about their gender? It's mental illness no matter what, both ways. I get you, man. Scott from Russellville. This country needs an enema. Oh, my soul. All right. Well, listen. Let me jump over here and do this last dipper, all right? Because let's do a quick primer on why the China-Taiwan thing is a thing, all right? Let's just step aside for a minute from all the woke world stuff and the text messages and talk about this. First of all, you can go figure. President Biden has been sending mixed signals. We've had a situation in place that oftentimes is referred to as strategic ambiguity, meaning we don't apply what is often referred to as strategic clarity on what happens with Taiwan. Why? Well, it's the term and position of the United States since 1979 that if we were to fully and completely say we will defend Taiwan, that we may wind up finding ourselves defending Taiwan whether we want to or not. We may wind up pushing China into an open war because they decide that they're going to. Now, there are many that believe China's going to invade Taiwan in the near future. This will not be a cakewalk. Taiwan is a fortress island. The Taiwan Strait is 110 miles across. But the plans are in place. I kid you not. The plans are in place for China to invade Taiwan. What is the U.S. position on this? Strategic ambiguity. That's what they call it. Biden has made conflicting statements since he took office. He has come out more than once. Well, here's the next article I've got. That first one, freebeacon.com. Antony Blinken went to China this week, a bit of a non-issue, when he stood up and said, we do not support Taiwan independence. And, of course, Taiwan goes, what? You're sending us F-16s. He said, we remain opposed to any unilateral changes to the status quo. Now, my first blush at this was, what a thing to say. Then I realized Secretary of State Colin Powell said almost the exact same thing just back during the George W. Bush administration. This has been the policy. As we say, we're not going to get out there and support. But the thing is, words mean something in foreign policy. That's why it gets really weird when in September of last year, piece here from the Council on Foreign Relations, that Joe Biden came out and said, if China invades Taiwan, we'll defend Taiwan. And the world went, what? What just happened? U.S. policy, according to this piece, has been to not support Taiwan independence openly. The State Department's website currently notes, we do not support Taiwan independence. The Biden administration's policy has been the same as its predecessors. The Bush administration expressed its opposition to changing the status quo, but Secretary of State Colin Powell openly declared, we are not supporting an independence movement in Taiwan. This all dates back, y'all, to the positions that were taken in 1979. In 1949, the U.S. recognized Taiwan. Then President Nixon went to China in 1972, which was the first U.S. acknowledgement of the communists governing that mainland. In 1979, the U.S. recognized the People's Republic of China and specified that it was the sole legitimate government of China, declaring what is now known as a one-China policy, meaning Taiwan, which broke off back in the 40s, was not going to be separate. We recognize a one-China policy. It's a weird dance. It's like, you know, you're walking that fine line. What do I say? How do I say it? Well, what you do is you put a president in place who knows how to say it, who doesn't get lost when he's on the microphone, who doesn't say things off the cuff that wind up changing foreign policy overnight. Jake Sullivan, who is the national security advisor to President Biden, was doing an interview just this past weekend. 2 weeks ago. piece here on Politico. He says the entire Taiwan policy of the United States is built on a series of internal tensions. He's not wrong. But he goes on to say, this is not a model of clarity, this one China policy. You hear what I'm saying? Not a model of clarity, meaning the worst thing we could do right now to inflame tensions, he says, is to specify exactly what we would do. It's called setting a red line. It's a red line that we don't want to have in place right now with a nuclear China with a billion people. And he goes on to say, Jake Sullivan does, that suggesting that Biden's statements have been consistent with the existing American policy. Zachariah, the one interviewing Fareed Zachariah, says, there's a contradiction there. Well, he goes on to say it lacks in clarity. The one China, anyway, the bottom line is they're double dancing around because you've got Biden on the one hand falling off his bicycle and speaking off the cuff while he eats ice cream and saying, oh, yeah, we would defend China or defend Taiwan. Oh, whoa. That's not what your Secretary of State. So they're having to walk back his policies because the true foreign policy position for Taiwan and China is to remain strategically ambiguous. It gives us wiggle room. It gives us the ability to have open trade with China, with Taiwan. It gives us the ability to have military interactions with Taiwan, while at the same time not openly declaring that's our quote-unquote ally that we recognize as a separate nation. It's a weird dance, y'all. I'm not even sure I can fully wrap my head around it. What it basically is a bit of political and foreign policy doublespeak that allows for some movement within the parameters that were given. And then you have President Biden, who allegedly was being elected as the foreign policy president, who chaired the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations for a number of years, who cannot remember what day it is sometimes, and who openly contradicts what has long been held as a bipartisan position on China and Taiwan by speaking off the cuff and going, if the China attacks, we'll defend Taiwan. Sir, the proper response is, we want to maintain the status quo. We're not changing the one China policy. So let's do this. Let's take a break right now and come right back. And I may put some wrap up on that. But the reality is, what I thought was important was we talk about this in terms of what are the six assurances? What are the things that we said that we believe in when it comes to this? And why is Taiwan so important to us? Why do we need to maintain this relation and not rock that boat? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I'll tell you a few when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Find out. All right. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Finishing up a little section here I'm calling strategic ambiguity. I mean, you hear about China, Taiwan. What the heck? Why is it so convoluted? And by the way, what does it mean to China? Not that we care, but we do care at the same time. What motivates them? We got to know, the old saying is know thy enemy. Well, there's China. What do they care about? Why do they care about Taiwan so much? Well, number one, it's about saving face. I've got a piece here that I pulled that is like a primer on this that came off of a website that literally talks about foreign relations and breaks it all down. I would say we're like where the baby goats can get it. But the point is here for China, it's about... It is perceived that no Chinese premier can remain in power if they cede the authority of Taiwan to separate completely. It's a loss of face. It's a falling down in terms of what the needs of the Communist Party are. And the Communist Party's absolute position is that sovereignty of China includes Taiwan, and if Taiwan secedes, it means that the premier has no authority. They're not going to let that happen. Xi is not going to let that happen. Not only that, but they covet what Taiwan has. Just like Hong Kong went back into China, all it did was flush the economy of China into a new position. Taiwan is a major economy. Why does it matter to the U.S.? Well, because Taiwan, by the way, is our ninth largest trading partner in the world. $66 billion in open trade that we do with Taiwan right now. They're a fully functioning democracy. They respect human rights. They have that open economy. Since 2015, like I said, they've been our ninth largest U.S. trading partner. Bilateral trade between the United States and Taiwan reaching $66.6 billion. They're a vital partner to us. You also have to look at what they make. Did you know that something like 80% of the semiconductor chips in the world that we rely on for everything from toaster ovens to the electric vehicles that are being pushed, they come out of Taiwan, medical equipment, all of it. But then you look back, okay, so what's happened over the years? What do we have in place? We have a thing called the Taiwan Relations Act. And then Reagan took the extra steps of providing what are known as the six assurances to the Taiwan Relations Act, saying that we will not agree to a set a date for ending arms sales to Taiwan. We will not agree to hold prior consultations with Communist China regarding arms sales to Taiwan. We will not play a mediation role between the two, and we will not revise. In other words, we're not going to get stuck in the middle. We're not going to be doing the mediation. We're not going to be like brokering peace between you. Y'all work this out. We won't get in the way, but hey, you know what? Same time, we're going to keep selling arms to Taiwan because we want to. And at the same time, we will not revise our trade agreements with them. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the weirdest foreign policy dance in the world. It's why, by the way, you got to have competent people in place to handle it. You can't just look at this and go, well, President Biden, who was eating ice cream and wasn't sure where he was that day, just changed the policy on a whim. This is a situation that carries nuclear potential. This is a situation that has the potential to have nuclear effects, if you will, parenthetically, on our economy. And this is a situation that has been in place now for decades, so it does not at all warrant an overnight change in policy. I mean, we're talking about Biden, who ripped the Band-Aid off of Afghanistan and just caused the wound to bleed again, all right? He's not known for making good, sound policy decisions when it comes. And even though he came in being called the foreign policy genius, the truth be told, he has already made a debacle of several things. Our foreign policy right now in Mexico is in the tank. Our southern border is in the tank. Our issues with, you know, Ukraine are rocky at best. What's going on with NATO is a weird dynamic right now. And then there's China, who hears one day that the Taiwanese Relations Act is still in place and the status quo is being maintained. And the next day, Joe Biden goes, if they attack, we'll defend Taiwan. And the whole world takes its breath in the foreign policy arena. So anyway, strategic ambiguity, one China policy, don't provide clarity, maintain good relations, give them all they need, tell them we won't get in the way, but maintain the status quo. That's where we are. That's where we are. There's the explainer. There's the how did we get here discussion just right down there where the baby goats can get to it. All right, big doings. Tomorrow's midweek. We'll be playing the camel, having the grand council. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 2:00.